Deal with it. We're all screwed up. Find out how to be happy no matter what is going on. Here's Tracy Crossley. Before we start today's podcast, I wanted to share some comments from some of Tracy's clients that have worked with her in both group coaching situations and one-on-one coaching. And to reach out to Tracy for a discovery session, please email her at happiness@tracycrossley.com. That's happiness@tracycrossley.com. Enjoy the show. Thanks for listening.
The real story is that Tracy saved my butt.
Been an amazing opportunity for me. So I feel like if I can make growth from it, I know anyone can.
It's the best investment I've ever made in myself. It way beats a Greek holiday, and I love my Greek holidays.
Thank you so much for all the work in the session and the Marco Polo to help me. So Tracy, you're awesome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. I'm really enjoying doing it again with more knowledge and being more connected to my feelings. Yeah, it's really good. So I think it's really good that you make it available for a whole year, because I think you can do it at the start, but then when you do it again, it's like such a different experience. And I think I'm getting more out of it. Like I got a lot, it shifted me a lot the first time I did it, but this time it's like, I'm picking up on even more things that I didn't realize about myself or that have like come to light recently.
It's just been amazing. And I just, if anyone's even thinking about it, do it. Even if you're just thinking about it, just do it. Just go there, you know. Just do it for yourself, you know.
Welcome to this special edition where Tracy answers your burning questions.
Hey there. Hi there. Hello there. You are back once again, if you're watching, for another episode of Emotional Baggage and not shoving it onto other people or claiming that somehow the world owes you something. Because a lot of us do run around with a sense of entitlement, and we don't think we do. That's the best part. I know I never used to think that I did, but we have certain expectations that the world is going to deliver to us. And it's really fascinating because we put that out there as though we're owed, hey, Jacqueline, and we're not owed. We're not owed shit. But we get this from being kids and perhaps watching movies and cartoons and, you know, just watching anything fairy tale like, anything that's fictional. But somehow we apply that to real life and we feel like we're owed something, like we're owed a great relationship, we're owed a great job, we're owed a great living. And then you get to adulthood and you find, oh, wow, there's obstacles to that, because a lot of us don't realize what we're doing to create it in the first place. Like, we are the creators of our lives, but we don't get that as a kid. Nobody's going, hey, kid, you're the creator of your life. You know, who's doing that? You just are figuring things out, going, okay, I'm getting this message over here and that message over there. And a lot of us had parents who had no self-awareness whatsoever. So we picked up on a lot of the things that they did. And a lot of people don't like to take responsibility, especially when it comes to the older generations. It's nothing I did. It's something you did. Hey, Denise. So the problem lies in your well-being, you see. All of the emotional baggage you throw on other people and all the blaming you do of other people or not taking responsibility for your own actions and your own words, it really eats away at your well-being. And that's my whole point. It's like, I want to be happy. I don't need to be right. I don't need to blame other people. I don't need to make myself miserable, because that's what you do when I'm focused on how much I don't like somebody or what they're doing wrong or what I think they owe me. And so what we do is we have these ideas, and then we accumulate baggage based on these ideas and we bring it forward. And then where you are today is, hey, I got all this baggage. How did I get that? And it's because of how you saw the world and these ideas that you had and the things that didn't happen or the things that did happen. And the responsibility being outside of you for that rather than inside of you. So I'm all about, hey, I want to be empowered and I want to be able to do something about it. So it's got to come from inside of me, because that's where my feelings live. You know what I mean? It's where you feel, right? So if I don't have a good sense of well-being, then it's reflected on how I feel. So this is all about how to get there. Like, all my work is about how to feel good. because as human beings, that's what we're trying to do anyway. A lot of us will use other things to feel good. You know, we might use drugs or alcohol or food or exercise like I used to, like a crazy fucking person. I used to run 8 miles a day. So yeah. And before that, like in the 80s, I would go to the gym and do aerobics, and I would take like two or three of them in a row, and then I would go do weights. I mean, I was insane. So, but for me, I was in that high, right? And I always was running from myself, but I didn't really see it as running from myself, but I really was running from myself because I didn't feel good unless I had all those endorphins going. And then I still really didn't feel good because I didn't even have any self-awareness whatsoever when I was young. So anywho, that's basically my little description about emotional baggage and all that good stuff and how you get there and how you see life and how it creates that dynamic inside of you and then outside of you, because of course that's reflected outside of you. Your inner world is mirrored outside of you always, and other people are a mirror in terms of they treat you how you treat you. Notice it. If you're not treating yourself with respect in some situation, other people may not be treating you with respect as well. It just goes to show. Just pay attention. I mean, it's a great way to develop self-awareness. Okay. All right. I'm going to get to the questions because I think I've given you guys a good explanation here. All right. Question number one. I was listening to an old podcast on emotional resiliency, and I have a question. Can your emotional resiliency become diminished due to life events? I'm talking major losses such as death and breakups. I feel less resilient the older I get. How do you get your strength back? Well, first of all, major losses, nobody wants those, obviously. And if we could go through life without a loss, wouldn't that be great? But unfortunately, life comes with that. It's how we attach ourselves to certain losses. And I'm not talking about death, because death, you grieve, you know, it's people that you love, that you care about, right? So we're not even going to get into that whole aspect of it, because you have to grieve and you have to go through the feelings you have. But it's the attachment that you have of your own feelings on something else. So when you go through breakups, as an example, those for a lot of people are harder to get over. Why? Because they're afraid of getting hurt again. You know, if somebody dies, it's not necessarily that you're afraid of getting hurt in the same way. Obviously, other people are going to die, right? And that is something that will just happen, and it's not because you're being rejected, okay? In a breakup, you're being rejected. So there's that fear of getting hurt in that way again, rather than if somebody dies, it's like, oh my gosh, they died, right? So the rejection, if you take it personally and you make it into something about you, and I'm being rejected, I've been broken up with, even if you're the one breaking up, you still have funky feelings around it. But the point is, it's all in what you're willing to do to feel your feelings. Hey, Terry, you know, to feel your feelings and to take responsibility for your whole life. You know, breakups happen. Things happen in life. So how much responsibility have you applied, and how much are you a victim of the circumstances? And that's what you have to look at. Because to me, again, I'm going back to what I already said. Having a good sense of well-being is what matters. That is what you get to choose in your life. You can either choose to feel like shit throughout your whole life or feel good, even when circumstances aren't great. It doesn't mean that you're jumping up and down inside like, woohoo, I'm loving this. But you don't attach meaning to, let's say, what somebody else's choice is, or, you know, like a job. Maybe you lose a job, right? And if you attach all this meaning to, okay, this is a rejection of who I am as a person if I'm fired, or, you know, in some way I lose the job, then you have to look inside and go, well, what meaning do I give to myself? What value do I place on me? You see, a lot of us place value on ourselves based on things out here rather than the fact that we're alive and breathing and we have value. So you have to switch it. It's called an internal locus of control. And there's actually been studies done about internal locus of control versus external locus of control. When you have an internal locus of control, meaning coming from the inside out rather than the outside in, meaning events out here are going to make my mood happen versus my mood happens in here and then it's reflected out there. See, there's a difference. But there's been studies done that talk about people that are happy, and happier people come from the inside out. People that are controlled by circumstances outside of them, they are unhappy. So you have to break those patterns. You have to dig deep. You have to do the emotional work. You've got to break your beliefs down and you have to break those patterns. It takes a lot of courage to do the work. It really does. I mean, I look at times where I just would rather have crawled under a table, you know, or hidden in a closet rather than have taken some of the actions that I've taken or said some of the things I've had to say. Opened myself instead of closing down. A lot of times when you've suffered loss, and this is a lot of people suffered loss, then you start going, I'm closing down, closing up, you know, got my self-protective armor on, don't get near me. Hey, Kimberly. And so we will do that without even knowing. And then we feel like shit because now we're closed down and we're like, okay, life, stay away from me. Don't do anything that might upset me. Well, the problem with that is you have no control over life. Life's going to do whatever life does, but you have control over how you feel. And that is the key. To me, I'd rather feel good. Even when shit's happening out here, I might have a momentary, like I'm stuck in traffic. I'm not a traffic person. Not that, I would say not that anybody is, but I had a client at one point who told me that they love traffic. So there are people that do. Anyways, but you see me in traffic and my husband just laughs because I have this running commentary in traffic, right? I'm just like, yeah, you wouldn't want to listen. Anyway, so the point is, I am making myself unhappy when I have a running commentary in traffic, right? I'm fucking up my own well-being by having this affect me. So then I have to go, well, why? And for me, by the way, like, you know, I'm always working on growing and stuff. And I put traffic at the bottom of the list because I figure, you know what, I'll get there someday or maybe not. But for me, it's like this whole inconsideration thing. And that's really the bigger thing I've had to work on. And I'm still working on is when there's inconsideration and not taking it personally. So obviously, when I'm in traffic, I'm taking something personally. Well, it's fucking up my well-being is my point. So I have to look at, do I want that to fuck up my well-being? Well, it doesn't fuck it up as much as it used to, but it still gets to me at times. So, okay. Anyways, let me move on to the next question. All righty. Thanks to your podcast and recent blog post, I've come to understand that I'm an avoidant. I see myself in so much of what you talk about, which in some ways is comforting because I realize I'm not alone. But in some ways, it is really overwhelming because I'm afraid of all the work ahead of me in order to have a normal relationship. I'm not even sure that's possible at my age. I'm 53. Where do I start? I totally get it. I get it. Hey, Jeff. Oh, my God. 22 degrees. Yikes. Yeah. See, I live in California for a reason. I was born in Wisconsin. My parents moved me out here when I was two. Let's all be I'm grateful for that because I'm a weather wimp. So anyways, let me get back to the question though. So, all right. So first of all, when you see yourself as the avoidant, it doesn't mean, oh my God, I've got like 1,000 steps ahead of me to get to a normal relationship. First of all, it's having the awareness of what you bring to a relationship. I have to learn to stop. Yep, Denise, I totally get it. Yeah. Because really you have no control over other people and circumstances. And when you're trying to, through your mental, you know, focus on things like change, do something different. You're pissing me off. That doesn't do anything. I mean, to me, it's a waste of time, but yet I do it in traffic all the time. Anyway, but when you are realizing you're an avoidant, as this person's asking in this question, and you're going, oh my God, how am I going to have a normal relationship? Well, you're going to have a normal relationship, first of all, by being aware that you are fucked up. Okay. Hey, Kelly, because we all are. And so if you go into a relationship and you're not trying to pretend to be somebody else and you just go, hey, I'm going to own my stuff. You could be out on a date with somebody and you would go, you know what? I came to realize that I have ways of avoiding in relationships. I've had a wall up and I'm working on taking that wall down. And it may take me a long time, but I'm just trying to be open about it. I mean, even admitting stuff like this on a date, right? Most people are too, you know, closed off and won't say those things. Me, I am just spilling it. I'm just like, yep, this is where I'm at. This is some of the challenges I've had. This is some of the challenges I still have. You know, that's what I was like when I was dating. And I met some really interesting people when I was dating, but I didn't hold back and I didn't try to be somewhere I wasn't. So the best thing you can do is to be where you are. Hey, Kelly. And I already said hi. Anyway, so you have to look at yourself and go, okay, there's a long road ahead for everybody. We all are on a journey. If you are into self-discovery and growth, you have a journey ahead of you. It's not like you reach the destination and you're in nirvana and you're sitting on the mountainside, the guru with the hat on going, hey, I can help you, I can make your life so much better. It's not like that. It's that you as an authentic human being, as a real flawed person, however you want to put it, some people find that offensive, but whatever, it's easier to say flawed. We're not perfect. As a person, as a human being, you're not perfect. It's okay. It is okay. So the more okay you are with your crap, the more you can do something about it. When you're not okay with your stuff, what you tend to do is you tend to distract from doing anything about it because you're so caught up in, oh my God, this is wrong with me. That's wrong with me. Oh, I better stay alone now for another 10 years. Well, no, you don't have to. You can take the step right now and start dating people and put yourself out there. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be scary. And as long as you admit it to yourself and you don't hide it, and you admit it to other people, you don't hide it, you're going to start to feel better. And that's the whole point, is to feel good, okay? And I know, because I was scared shitless when I was dating, especially when I realized how much I was still an avoidant, because it took me a long time since I did this work on my own. But I remember being scared. I think I've mentioned before, you know, I was out on a date with somebody and he had, you know, I don't want to say he didn't measure up in terms of what my expectations were, but what his profile said and who he showed up to be were two different things, right? And so I just remember wanting to run to my car, and I kind of did. And then he messaged me afterwards going, seemed like you ran to your car. Because I did, okay? And so, hey, Natalie, thank you. And so you can be this, what, like, recognize you're in that place. Even if you do stuff like that, go, oh, wow, I just ran from the date. Oh, wow, I just hung up the phone because I was freaking out and getting, you know, too nervous or whatever. Just recognize it. Don't tell yourself a story, okay? All right, I am talking a lot today, and I got to get through these questions. So let me get to the third one. Hi, Tracy. I'm 39. I've been single for 8 years. I just haven't met someone I mesh with and don't want to settle. But it's hard to watch people around me start new relationships or get married. It seems I'm surrounded by happy couples, which just makes me feel bad about myself. I understand that. I want to have a positive attitude about dating, but I feel defeated, which I'm sure is not attractive on a date. Not sure how to break this cycle and actually be excited about dating. I don't think you have to be excited about dating. I never went into dating going, oh, I'm so excited. I happened to start liking dating more the more authentic I was, the more real I was willing to be and flawed and not have expectations of the other person, okay? And not have expectations that I was going to show up in a certain way. I started paying attention to my behavior when I went out. It's, am I trying hard? Like, I would check in with myself. I'd be having a conversation and I go, hey, am I trying too hard here? Am I doing my old dating phase? And I would find sometimes I was. And to me, dating became more interesting because I would find the ways that I actually blocked getting close to somebody. You know, when I was paying attention to my own actions, I could see it. And so to me, when you make dating interesting rather than exciting, it makes it different. And let me see if I missed anything here. And the thing is, settling comes from expectations that somebody's going to fill a place of lack inside of you. Okay. So, and I'm not talking about like expectations like, hey, you know, you have a way of making a living and you look like you're a stable person emotionally. I'm not talking about stuff like that. I'm talking beyond those things. It's when you have another list going on and you're like, I don't want to settle for somebody unless they make $1 million a year or they own six houses or whatever it is that you put on it. It's that when you're in that mode, that is about your state of lack. Because if you don't have a state of lack going on inside, it really doesn't matter about that other stuff. It really doesn't. So you have to look at what is it you're looking for and what is it you show up as. You've got to look at yourself and see what you put out there. You know, when it's, I don't know if you mentioned anything, surrounded by happy couples. Well, that's your version of what you think they're doing. Who knows if they're happy or not? We never know. You can watch Facebook and think everybody's fucking happy but you. And that's bullshit because it's not true. Every single person on the face of the planet has shit. We all do. So it's to own your shit and go out and date. Just take one step, sign up, and each step of the way, and do it one step at a time. Don't rush, okay? But if you do it one step at a time, you're going to be in sync with yourself. You're not going to feel like you're rushing. You're not going to feel more afraid, because a lot of times we rush and we're more afraid. It's to slow down and be in sync with yourself. And go through it as an adventure, as something where you learn about you and you learn about someone else. And it's more interesting that way. Okay. All right. Last question. Let me get to this real quick. And I'm running late. Okay. When my girlfriend and I are at a restaurant and I point out something on the menu that looks good, she tells me why it's a bad choice and suggests something else. Or she'll ask me to change my shirt before we go out because she doesn't like what I picked. She's mostly great, so I feel stupid making a big deal out of these little things, but it makes me feel like a child sometimes. And I'm afraid she'll feel bad if I bring it up. Should I just let it go since it's so small in the scheme of things? I don't want her to think I don't value our relationship. Well, she's not valuing you very much. And this goes back to what I was just talking about, the state of lack. The more lack you feel inside of yourself, the more you want your partner to make up for it. Mm-hmm. Because why would it matter what shirt you wear? It shouldn't matter unless there's a stain or a hole or, you know, something you didn't know was on the shirt. But or what you order for food, if that's what you really want to eat, then your girlfriend should be like, oh, that's great that you want to eat that. Unless you have some disease or something and you're not supposed to eat certain foods, right? It's stuff, you know, it's things like that. Like if somebody's going, okay, I'm diabetic and I'm, you know, going to go eat a pound of sugar. Okay. And my significant other might go, you know, are you sure you want to eat that? You know, it's not good for your health considering your health condition. But you obviously are an adult and can choose what you want to do. I mean, that's more along the lines what I would do if that were the case. But if you have no health problems and you want to order something, you need to say to her, hey, look, I understand and appreciate your opinion about what I should choose to eat. And she may not even be aware she's doing it, by the way. You know, I appreciate that, but I'm still going to choose what I want to eat. And I'm going to choose what I want to wear because I'm comfortable doing that. And I appreciate that you have an opinion, and that's great that you have an opinion. But I just want to tell you, I'm still going to choose for myself. I have to choose for myself. If I don't choose for myself, I'm going to become resentful, and I'm going to start picking fights, or I'm going to start doing things that are going to show that I'm not happy being told what I should or shouldn't do. So it's, you know, and again, it's up to her whether she continues to do that or not, but it's up to you to speak what's true for you. You can't slide things under the carpet. They will always come back up. They always do. We cannot walk away from things going, well, I'm just going to shove that under the carpet. I used to have a lot of relationships I shoved shit under the carpet. A lot of those relationships are no longer around because you can't have the, how do you put this? You can't have a healthy relationship if you have feelings of resentment and anger or anything like that. You have to be able to express yourself, not in a state of blame, because like I'm saying, you're not blaming your girlfriend in this case. She's offering this information and you're saying, I want to choose for myself and I'm going to go ahead and choose for myself. And I just want you to know the impact that this causes, because there's an impact here. And the impact is your, you know, your statements to me are making me think that I can't be trusted to make choices for myself. But that's, you know, not telling you, you have to stop saying things. It's me telling you that I'm going to go ahead and do what I want anyway, you know? So anyways, that is it, folks. I actually got through that. Woohoo! All right. Hey, if you have questions, please leave them here. And if you don't want to leave them here because you'd like privacy, you can message me on Facebook or you can email me. You can email them to Tracy@TracyCrossley.com or podcast@TracyCrossley.com. Either way, they will get put on the list for the next time. So hope you guys are having a good day. It's about to rain, or I think it is raining already for the next 4 days. Woohoo! Yay, we need rain. And all of you freezing your asses off in other parts of the country, I'm sorry. My condolences, because I couldn't do it. All right, guys, take care. Bye-bye.
To find out more about Tracy and her podcast, visit TracyCrossley.com. That's where you can sign up for her newsletter and information session and find out more about her courses and programs. The address again is TracyCrossley.com. If you like the podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes so that more people can find it.